Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will be joined throughout the show by Corey Curtis from News 2. However, traffic is bad out there today, so Corey is on his way in. He was at practice yesterday. We'll get all of Corey's thoughts on day one of joint practices between the Titans and the Falcons, but we will also look at day two, which is getting underway right now. Brian Callahan just spoke to the media down there in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Connor, with a little line change there from in the studio to behind the glass.
Marathon man. I'm doing it all today.
You are. The last couple weeks, you've been filling in all different kinds of places.
I am the Taysom Hill of this station, it seems.
Swiss Army Knife, Connor Newt. He was co-hosting with Robbie this morning and now producing for us today. Again, Corey Curtis going to join us, give us his thoughts on yesterday's practice. Again, he was down there in Georgia, so we'll get his thoughts when he's able to get in here. Our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 if you have thoughts. Couple of quick things on the Brian Callahan press conference that you just heard if you listened to the tail end of Robbie and Rex Road. Brian Callahan says that Cam Ward and the starters going to get about two series again. No Jeffrey Simmons, no Kevin Zeitler, which makes sense. Those guys really don't need preseason reps. I'm okay with Cam Ward only getting two series on Friday night against Atlanta. I think with the two joint practices, it's good to get him out there, as Callahan said, get some game reps in a real stadium with a crowd, wearing the uniform, all that kind of stuff. It's good. But when you have 2 days of joint practices, you just had a joint practice in Tampa. He played in the first preseason game. You don't need to leave him out there all that long. I think if he's going to play extended snaps, it's going to be in the final preseason game.
It'll be next week.
Against the Vikings. But as I've said before, it makes sense with no joint practices that maybe that's when he plays the most. But it's also the last opportunity for Cam Ward. And if he goes out there and leads an 80-yard touchdown drive on the first time he gets the ball,
bowl him.
What would the point be of bringing him back out
there? You've already seen everything you need. Yeah.
Right. So we'll see what happens next week. Titans will be back in Nashville for the first time in nearly 2 weeks after the preseason game on Friday night against the Falcons. And it looks like we're going to see Cam Ward for about two series again with a similar cast of characters around him. No Kevin Zeitler. I would assume Lloyd Cushenberry is not going to play as well, coming off that Achilles injury. So
Snead will be out, obviously.
It'll be three and a half of the starting offensive line. Yeah, no Snead. But Brian Callahan did say Kevin Winston, the hope is to get him back next week, dealing with hamstring soreness due to his knee recovery. So good news there for Kevin Winston. Not that I expect him to be a huge factor this year. I kind of compared him to Kevin Byard last week with TD of you might get one, a couple of plays from in his rookie season, but you expect Kevin Winston to take a big step next year when he's a year removed from his knee injury and you can really plug him in. Amani Hooker, is he a free agent after this year?
Believe so.
So
yeah, let me do some research.
They haven't extended him yet. I wonder if maybe that's the plan, is Winston's going to have a half red shirt kind of year where, you'll see him a little bit, but he's not going to be a huge part of this defense. And then you'll eventually start to get him more involved, and then he'll be your starter next year.
This is it. This is his contract year.
Yeah, so this is contract year. Sometimes you see these extensions come up, like the Bills just extended James Cook, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. You see these come up right towards the end of training camp. If somebody's going to get extended for the Titans, I kind of expect it to be Roger McCreary. But there's a chance it could end up being Amani Hooker. We will talk about that extension for James Cook, because I just have an overarching thought on the running back market in the NFL, because it doesn't change. It hasn't changed in 15 years, and I went back and looked at the stats. We will also talk about, looking through here, how much Cam Ward should play the rest of the preseason. We already kind of touched on that on Friday's game, but how much do we want him to play in that Vikings game? And is the energy still a problem for the Titans? Slow starts again. Brian Callahan talked about it early on in his press conference. is the sluggish starts, is that a reflection of Brian Callahan as a head coach? We'll get to that. Again, Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us. Connor, when looking at the sluggish starts from this team, it was an issue last year. In games, I mean, you look at the Lions game, the Commanders game, where you got 10 minutes in and the game was already over. I'm a little bit concerned that this is still an issue this year. I get it. It's just practice. But the fact that they're having the same conversations over and over about, man, they can't get out of the gates fast. Like, at some point that comes back on the head coach, and you wonder if maybe the leadership around this team is an issue. I know we saw Cam Ward, the picture of him standing over his team and, you know, seemingly giving it to him yesterday after what was not a great practice. But there needs to be more leadership, and obviously that starts with the head coach.
Yeah, I think that's a head coach thing. And you just heard the head coach reference that. He was asked about, you know, what's wrong with the energy? Why can't you get out to a hot start? And basically he said, once I have it clipped, I'll play it for you. But once he said, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. 3 hours of radio.
You've already been on for three hours.
Once he was asked that, he said, yeah, well, all it takes is one or two plays out the gates to get it going. And when he said that, I was thinking, okay, then why can't you do that? Why are you not coaching up your guys to do that? I realize you're not the one out on the field making the plays, but you should be the motivator, and that should be in your game plan to start hot.
Right. He says, yeah, maybe it's less about energy and it's more about the performance, but it's like if you're consistently not performing early on, I think there's something more there than just like bad luck or something at the very beginning of these practices. They said a couple of, a lot of balls hitting the ground early. It just didn't look good early on from the Titans.
I mean, I hate to say it, but was energy ever a problem with the last head coach here?
That's
out the gates?
Lenny on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the same thing. Vrabel would never have been accused of having a sluggish team. And that is the... That's the trade-off I think that you make when you make a switch like that. You went from the leader of men head coach, Mike Vrabel, who he was going to motivate that team 100%, but when it came to being a tactician and, you know, the offensive guru, he obviously wasn't that. He's a defensive head coach, and he kept hiring from the inside his coaching staff. Arthur Smith worked out, but Todd Downing and Tim Kelly did not work out, and... the offense suffered for it. Matthew in Nashville on our text line asks, would you leave Cam Ward out there for longer if the Titans defense has a repeat of last week and the Titans only get like 2 to 4 offensive possessions in the entire first half like they did against Tampa? I don't think the defense really has much to do with how much we see Cam Ward. Cam Ward No. has all of what to do of what we see from Cam Ward. If he goes out there and they score a touchdown on the first drive, I think he's done.
Yeah.
Like, Callahan says 2 drives, but if he has a good first drive, they'll probably pull him. If they go 3 and out on the first 2 drives, maybe he comes out for a third. It's all about feel. I don't know if you're going to leave him in much longer than 3 drives, though. I think you maybe give him an emergency third drive if you feel like the first 2 were just horrible, but I don't think you see him much more than 3 drives, no matter what happens on Friday night in Atlanta. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lots coming up on the show. Again, Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us. He was out at joint practices yesterday. Got the whole look at what happened down there in Flowery Branch, Georgia. And, you know, we're kind of just going off reports of what we've seen. So excited to hear what Corey has to say. Also want to hear more about this Atlanta team, because the Falcons, they're kind of the second team in that division with the Bucs. The Titans the last 2 weeks seeing the top of the NFC South. And it seemed like it was a good day for Michael Penix. I'm not a huge Michael Penix believer, but maybe this is a guy who the Falcons can build around, and maybe the Falcons don't look like such idiots for taking him 8th overall last year when they shocked the world in the 2024 NFL draft. Plenty more. Chris Sanders going to join us at 11:15. And again, the running back market in the NFL. I saw this extension for James Cook this morning, and I went and did some research and started to look at how undervalued the running back position is. So plenty to get to here on Next Man Up. Again, Corey Curtis going to join us. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in today. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinitix Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Next Man Up here on this Wednesday morning, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN, 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls. First pitch is at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN, 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, and we are now joined in studio by Corey Curtis from News 2. He has made it through the traffic and has just walked in studio, excited to get his thoughts on the Titans as they continue their joint practices with the Atlanta Falcons down in Georgia. Day two today. They are just getting underway down there in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Yesterday, overall, the reports coming out of the joint practices, it was much better for the Falcons than it was for the Titans. Corey Curtis joins us now. Corey, you were down there in Atlanta yesterday for the practices. Didn't seem like there was a whole lot of positives for the Titans. There were a couple of plays that, and I saw the Titans tweeted them out of, like, Ward finding Ridley a couple of times, but overall felt like it was a win for the Falcons in day one.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a win for the Falcons in day one, and it was not a great day for the Titans. We all make a lot of it, and it's important, you know. I mean, it's you play like you practice. Isn't that what we talk about? I do think they look tired. I mean, talking to them afterwards, they except for Big Jeff, who's just in
right.
amazing shape, and he's a veteran, and he's been through it. But you talk to some of these guys, and they seem a little tired. I could be wrong. That's just kind of my guess. And that's mentally and physically. I mean, they've been on the road for 7 straight days. When I go on vacation for 7 straight days, I'm tired when it's over. And I'm not making excuses for them. You're looking for, you know, the why. And like they talk about, they want to make these guys uncomfortable so that the game is easier than the practice. And I don't say that to make excuses for them. I say it to say this is what the plan is, and it explains some of it. Now, the other aspect is you do have to win. You do have to win. So who did you say made some plays yesterday?
Calvin Ridley.
Okay. What does Calvin Ridley have over all the other guys?
Experience.
And talent.
Talent. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I mean, really. Okay. So their best player had a good day. All right. All right. They need more good players. You know, you have more
Fair.
Good players, you make more good plays, suddenly practice looks a lot better. What, you know, I heard you guys talking about Callahan talking about Drake London. Well, they did well against the rest of the guys. What does Drake London have over the rest of the guys?
Talent.
Talent. He's really good. So you need more good players to make more good plays. Bijan Robinson, one-on-one with Cedric Gray on a wheel route, wide open, and Michael Penix puts it on him. Bijan Robinson's a really good player.
Yeah.
And Michael Robinson's a top 10 pick. I mean, Michael Penix is a top 10 pick. He puts it on him. And that, again, that's not all of it, but talent's part of it. Talent is part of it. We saw the second half in Tampa. What does it tell you about the Titans? Back end of the roster, not very good.
Yep.
How many guys have we already seen cut and replace?
Yeah, they churn the bottom of this roster pretty much daily at this point.
It's because it's not very good,
yep.
And they know it. Now, the problem you have is when you're picking at the bottom of the waiver wire or the top of the waiver wire like they are, who else is releasing players right now? Other teams that the bottom of the roster is not
right.
very good. So that's what you're picking from. You know, you're picking from, you know, the other teams that are near you in the waiver wire who are also churning players,
yep.
And you're taking a look at their cast-offs and seeing, well, what have they got? And so, you know, there's a reason guys are still on the street. Once in a while, you come across one. I mean, Jihad Ward has been pretty good. I mean, he's...
Right, he had the one sack on Saturday night.
He's a proven player,
yep.
too. You know, and he's also an available player, a guy who doesn't miss a lot of games. So this is a really long answer for, yeah, it needs to be better, but there are reasons.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right that the Titans just aren't as talented of a team as the Falcons are, and it's pretty obvious to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Connor and I said it yesterday of the reaction out of practice yesterday in Georgia was kind of what we expected from the Tampa practice of the Buccaneers are the better team. kind of expect the overall takeaway to be, hey, the Bucks won this practice.
Which is why they were so pleased with the draw.
Right. Saying it was evenly matched.
Yeah, and they were really excited about that, and they should have been. Because, you know, the Bucks do have a lot of really good
players.
It's a playoff
team.
It's a playoff
team,
so yes. So, you know, they were excited about that, and they should be. You know, I think the Falcons think they can fight for a playoff spot this year. You know, a lot of that's going to be on Michael Penix. They need to get Darnell Mooney healthy, and those young pass rushers that they've got have got to produce. That's going to be part of it as well. And so, you know, there are aspects of it. We talk about game planning. I know that frustrates people. You're not game planning. You're working on your stuff. They're working on their stuff. You know, the first thing Jeff told us yesterday is they did something to him he's never seen before. So they game planned some for Jeff yesterday, and that's smart, you know, because they're working towards who they're going to play this year and figuring out. And, like, it's practice. We'll see how they bounce back today. If they have another really bad day today, I think there's more room for concern. But we'll see. I know they'll be excited to get home.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
I mean, you make a good point of even on vacation, when somebody goes on a trip for 7 days, even if you're not really doing all that much, you come back and you're tired. It's like just excited to get home. And
well, you're out of your comfort zone.
Right. It's like these guys haven't been home since last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So it's been a week. You've still got another practice today. You're still there Thursday. You got a game Friday, and you're probably not back till either late Friday night, early Saturday morning, or the next day. So you can understand why maybe they came out a little sluggish. And again, it's not an excuse. It's just looking for a reason why.
Yes, again. And also a little sluggish, like he says. You make some plays, and suddenly, you know, you've got some juice and there's some competition. But they don't have enough guys right now to make plays.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just watching Elik Iomanner yesterday. He got, you know, Callie talked about that. He's getting a stronger look. I'm not giving anything away there. He didn't win.
Yeah.
He wasn't. No, I mean, the interception that Cam Ward threw, Iomanner ran a slant. He tried forcing it in there, but Terrell was all over him. Terrell got the inside on him, and Iomanner's bigger than he is. He needs to use his body to get between Terrell and the ball, but he didn't. And so Terrell breaks it up. It pops straight up in the air, and Jesse Bates does what Jesse Bates does. He runs under it and catches it. Maybe not a great choice by Cam Ward at that point, but Iomanner's got to win the route. And also, there gets to be a point where I'm a quarterback and there's nobody open over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, you got to try to force it in somewhere. And, you know, there was not a whole lot of winning in route running yesterday.
Yeah. And that makes sense considering the depth that they have at the wide receiver position. Like, as much as Titans fans are excited about Elik Iomanner and Chim Dike, like,
they're
young and they're day three picks. It's not like these guys were drafted.
Well, I mean,
15th overall.
Even Calvin Ridley, his rookie year, did not have a monster year.
Right.
So now I think receivers these days tend to be further along than they did 5, 10, 15 years ago. But still, you know, there's an elevation standard for some of these guys. And again, I mean, I don't think Chimere Dike ever had a 1,000-yard season in college.
Yeah, so, and if he did, it was with Wisconsin, maybe.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, the reason you put your players out against better players, you know, in more competitive situations is so that they are forced to elevate their game.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, that's why I say today is important. Do the Titans elevate their game? If they don't elevate their game, then I'm more concerned.
Right. Because, again, you can say, well, they're still tired. It's been a week, but they're going to be tired throughout the season, too. And
that's the point.
It's up to Brian Callahan. It's up to the coaching staff and to the leaders on this team to not be content with what happened yesterday and come out and have some juice today. And we'll continue to get updates throughout the day of what the Titans look like down there in Georgia. Again, it wasn't a good day yesterday. And you mentioned Cam Ward threw a couple of picks. I am a little concerned with Elik Iomanner. You mentioned just not attacking the ball. I think I saw from TD another play where it didn't end up being an interception, but it was a similar type of play where Iomanner could have caught it if he just attacked the football, and instead it ended up being a near interception for Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. You wonder with Iomanner, like, he's got the size, he's got the ability. Can he go out there and be kind of, I said yesterday, like, have the dog in him to just, like, go attack the football when the ball is thrown his way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you go up levels, you know, there's not a lot of weak spots out there. There's just not. And he was going against the Falcons' best. He wasn't going against their second team.
AJ Terrell's a good player.
And so I think, you know, that was the challenge for him yesterday. All right, we've seen what you can do. Now go out and do it against the best. Okay, it's got to be better. It's got to be better. And he's learned that's got to happen. But they need more from Tyler Lockett. You know, did you hear Gunnar Helm's name talked about yesterday?
Not at all.
No, didn't. I mean, he didn't make plays. I talked to Gunnar after practice, and, you know, he talked about, you know, how the coaches are trying to make it hard, and they appreciate that because then when the season gets here, there wasn't anybody stepping up and making a play. That's leadership. You know, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. talked about it afterwards.
Right.
It starts with the leaders. And shoot, Brian Callahan talked about it before the season ever started. It's why he started this whole offseason program, trying to develop leaders who will not just show up and lead by example, because that's the job, but guys who will drag guys with them and raise them. And they need the Jeffrey Simmons, and they need the Tony Pollards, and those guys to raise the teammates around them.
We've talked about it plenty, about how the leadership exodus for the Titans over the last 4 or 5 years has been steep. I mean, you lost Kevin Byard. You lost Derrick Henry. Mm. You lost Ryan Tannehill.
Ben Jones.
Even like a guy like Taylor Lewan was a leader in that locker room, even if maybe his personality wasn't quite what you'd hope for in a captain-type guy. Like, you lost a lot of leadership. That's got to be filled in somewhere.
Yep.
We'll get to it in a second, but I think maybe Cam Ward is one of the guys who's stepping up.
He has to be, and I think that had to be one of the attractive parts about him, is every coach he's had has called him a culture changer.
Yeah.
Because you play at his level, you commit at his commit, or you just don't make it. And so I think that is one of the things you will see over, but he can't be the only one.
Right.
There's got to be other ones, and we'll see who matures into those roles. I mean, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. would be a guy that you would say, you know, he plays with a lot of dog in him, as Terrell would,
right.
As Teron would say. You know, can he, you know, be consistent enough? Can he be level-headed enough? Because leaders don't get in fights with people in the stands. All right,
that's a good point.
And so, you know, can he be mature enough to be a leader of the football team? He spoke out yesterday about how it wasn't good enough. You know, that's good to us. It's got to be to your teammates.
Right.
And you got to tell those guys, not good enough. We need to be better. So we'll see if that message got across today.
We did hear a lot of Titans players saying that yesterday's practice was not good enough. And, you know, you can say it. They got to go out there and prove that they can play better today. And we will continue to give you updates from the joint practices between the Titans and Falcons going on right now in Georgia. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your phones coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis today on Next Man Up here on 1025 The Game. Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Titans on the practice field in Atlanta for day 2 of joint practices with the Falcons. We will continue to update you on any news coming out of Georgia today. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2 in today, along with Connor Newt. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I just want to come in on the team. As far as what I seen on the first preseason game, the defense, they're really, really bad. It's looking really bad. The offense looks kind of stalemate, kind of soft. Cam Ward wasn't on time. He wasn't seeing the field good. He was throwing, you know, passes out there in hopes of a receiver being there to catch the ball. It's not looking good, guys. And, you know, I met Steve, you know, at Rivergate Mall when I was working at Foot Locker. He shook my hand, and he told me to go out and do the best I can in life. And I look at that team, and I don't see it. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. And y'all have a good day, and I love y'all. Y'all take care. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Trey. I mean, it's preseason. Corey and I were just talking about this during the break. It's like we're all looking for stuff to talk about right now, and they didn't look good on Saturday night. Like, you lose 29-7, you didn't look great.
Well, I mean, but most of that was in the second half.
Right. It was 13-7 till late in the fourth quarter.
Cam Ward was 5-for-8. All right. And he was 5-for-6 on the touchdown drive.
Yep.
So he was not hoping. He was hitting. He had one bad pass that was almost picked off. The opening drive, I will say, the second pass play, when he rolled to his right and he threw it deep downfield incomplete, he had Calvin Ridley wide open in the middle of the field, and he did not see him. And so that is something you go back and you learn from. Just like the one that was almost intercepted, you go back and you learn from. He is a rookie quarterback. Steve did not play his rookie year, okay, because he needed to learn. And Cam Ward is learning on the fly. And so you're going to have some of that. Defensively, yes, needs to be better, but you go back to that game. Amani Hooker gives up a long one to Emeka Egbuka, right?
Yep.
Was he in position to make the play?
No, it's a step late. He was around the ball, but he was on him.
Yes. He chose wrong.
Yep.
He played the body instead of the ball. He was in position to play the ball.
Right.
He was in position to make that play. He just didn't make that. And that's the difference. That's the difference, all right? When you make that play and when you don't make that play, Amani Hooker makes a lot of money. It makes a lot of money to make that play. The other thing defensively is injuries are a part of the game, so you play without guys. But this team's defense is centered on one guy, and he makes like $20+ million a year.
Yep.
All right? So when you don't have Jeffrey Simmons in there, it is pulling the linchpin from the whole thing. It just is. And they need him out there. They need T'Vondre Sweat out there. And if those guys aren't out there, it's going to be a long year because this team's depth is not good.
Yeah, I mean, they've talked about how they don't, and you can say this when you don't have edge rushers, but they've said they want to collapse the pocket from the inside.
You're exactly right.
And it's like, when you don't have those two guys out there and your edge rushers aren't very good, you're not going to affect the quarterback.
Well, and also, you know, when you collapse the pocket, like they're talking about, you don't make your DBs have to cover forever. When you let quarterbacks get out of the pocket and extend the plays, and all of a sudden they're having to cover. Now, the Titans last year, I think they gave up the second fewest pass plays of like 20 yards or longer. Like, they did not give up a lot of big plays in the passing game. I think they were number two in the league in that category. But again, they didn't have a lot of sacks last year. And so, you know, there were a lot of times, I don't know what their third down number was, where you saw teams move the chains because they couldn't get to the quarterback. And
right.
So they may have only given up a 12-yard pass or a 9-yard pass, but it was enough to move the chains. And so, you know, you've got to make quarterbacks uncomfortable in this league, even the really good ones. You've got to find a way to make them uncomfortable. You know, that's how you win.
And when you don't have your two best pass rushers out there, they didn't make Kyle Trask uncomfortable very much.
Who's the second best pass rusher? Because I got one right now.
Yes, that's true.
Probably Arden Key.
Sweat probably. He had one sack last year. Your best defensive lineman out there. I guess so Key.
Key and Simmons would be your top two pass rushers at this point.
Not,
by the way, and you probably talked about this Monday and Tuesday, that Femi Aladeja's got to do more. He's got to do more. He's got to be more explosive off the ball. I think that, you know, and I saw him drop into coverage a number of times, which was interesting. I'm like, didn't they draft this guy to go after the quarterback?
Yep.
But he has to give them more, especially going against backups.
Yeah. Femi, all the talk coming out of training camp was he's ahead of schedule and he looks like he's making plays. And then, you know, to go out against backups in Tampa and really just disappear.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can say about somebody like in that position, that you didn't notice him.
Yep.
And you didn't notice him.
That's the goal of an edge rusher is to be a disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
And like we say about Dan Moore, the best thing you can say about Dan Moore is you don't notice him.
Yeah.
Like, the opposite can be said for an edge rusher. If you're not noticing him, then you're probably not doing your job very well.
Everybody talked about who? James Williams. Because they noticed him.
Right, you showed up.
You saw him. You saw him. So that's a huge check mark in the James Williams category. You saw him. All right? And so the Titans need more guys that you see. Remember when they drafted Elijah Molden?
Yes.
You saw him.
Yep.
He was there. He made plays. He was on the ball. And you couldn't help but see him. Kevin Byard was the same way. You saw him. And so they need more. They need more of those guys. I need to come up with an acronym for that. You know, the you saw him guys.
Guys you notice. Yeah. guns. I mean, you would be abbreviated there. Guys, you notice.
There you go.
There we go. We got it. Austin on our text line asks, hey, how do you feel about the quarterback signing? Do you think they will change it up again and get a clear backup? Boyle, when you post a 0.6 passer rating in a game, like, you're not going to stick around very long. And Semien makes sense. Like, he's got familiarity with Callahan.
Yeah.
And
he was with the team last year.
Right.
He was with Callahan in Denver.
I think it's a fine move that you hope that neither of those guys ever had to see the field in a meaningful game. So.
Well, I mean, bottom line, look, Brandon Allen is going to be this team's backup.
Right.
And Tim Boyle was not going to make the football team. Now, that doesn't mean you still don't want the best guy possible. And it's hard. You get to a point with the rest of your team when, you know, you do that and then you bring that guy back out and say, all right, follow this guy. You're doing a disservice to the other guys who are looking at you saying, you can't do better than this guy.
Yeah.
You can't, this is the best thing you got for me. Now, again, in that game as well, those receivers weren't running free for Tim Boyle.
No. You can make the point that he was not helped out very much by the guys who were out there. I mean, like, Xavier Restrepo was out there for a few snaps with him.
11.
The pick six was to Mason Kinsey, and it just looked like they weren't on the same page.
Well, he just looked like he was guessing. I mean, like the caller said, you know, hoping Cameron was, which I don't agree with.
Tim Boyle was hoping.
Tim Boyle was, he was chucking hand grenades and just hoping the shrapnel would hit somebody, okay? But he was hitting the other team.
Me and TD talked about this on Monday. I went through Tim Boyle's college stats, and I don't understand how he's been in the NFL for 7 years. Like, how did he get an opportunity? He didn't throw for more than like 2,500 yards in any season, and he never had more touchdowns than interceptions in a season.
He is Nathan Peterman 2.0. I mean, he looks the part. I mean, he is big and tall. When you just see him throw the football, it looks good. And from what I hear, he's a real savant in the room.
Right.
And that was one of the appeals to having him in the room. Trevor Siemian also knows offense, and he'll be able to do that similarly as well. But I think they will be able to trust him to function better when the game comes.
Right, when he actually has to be out on the field. Anyway. Apparently Trevor Siemian looked pretty good yesterday. Was that true? I mean, based on – I was seeing that Teron Davenport said that at least he – was making a couple of plays here and there.
Well, I mean, look, nothing happened down the field for the Titans. Okay.
Fair enough.
They, you know, the only plays I saw happen down the field were when Cam Ward extended and hit Shimre Dike like down the sideline.
Gotcha.
And early Calvin Ridley caught a couple. But as far as making plays down the field, no bueno.
Maybe it was just a low bar of what we're.
I think compared to what they were saying, the offense wasn't going anywhere. All right, and then they actually started doing some drives, and they did move it a couple of times.
Yep.
And they had some runs in there as well, and I continue to believe that this team will be a better running team than passing team this year, or should be with the way their offensive line is set up. And I know you got to go, but I did want to mention something about the backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I was adamant all summer that Will Levis needed to be the number two. He had more yards last year than Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle have in their careers combined.
Yep.
Okay? So that's why I was like, Will Levis needs to be the number two.
In terms of who you felt the best about coming into the game, like, I know, I understand Will Levis lost a lot of games for this team, but in terms of a guy who you can come in and the offense isn't just going to crater inside itself, Levis at least could move the football times.
You knew he could throw it down the field.
Right.
I mean, he may hold it forever, but he will. If he has time, he's going
to
let it fly.
He has the talent to at least make the offense look competent at times. Like, there were times last year, as bad as Levis was,
First half in Chicago, he looked pretty darn good.
Right.
But, yeah.
First update from Teron Davenport from day two of joint practice with the Falcons. Low red zone 7v7, Michael Penix to Drake London for a touchdown.
Not surprising.
Cameron Ward hits Julius Chestnut on a swing route wide open for a touchdown. Pass breakup.
He's good in the receiving game, by the way.
Which maybe makes you feel better about Tajay Spears possibly missing a little bit.
They're totally different, but he's shifty in the open field. And again, they kept him last year because of his ability to carry the ball.
Yeah.
And that's the hope for him now with Tajay Spears hurt, is that he makes team, because they're going to need somebody else to carry the ball. And I, I, I like Julius Chestnut for that. I don't like him for special teams. I like him for that.
Chestnut, he's turning into one of the cockroaches on this team that you just can't get rid of, and it looks like he might stick around. Pass breakup for Jarvis Brownlee. Penix to Pitts for a touchdown against Roger McCreary. And Brandon Allen hits Derek Abbey for a touchdown.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
I've never heard of him.
I had no idea there was a Derek Abbey on the roster.
Paul Kaharski's just put out a tweet. Said Cam Ward 3 for 5 in red zone 7v7. Brandon Allen 4 for 5. And PK said nice work.
Okay.
So if PK says nice work, that means it looked competent.
If Paul Kaharski is saying nice work, then maybe it wasn't a sluggish start. Like
no, well, I mean, he'll be honest with you. And if not a little overly critical.
Right.
And so, you know, and I always get back to there was a year the Rams came here and their media was like, oh, the Rams were great. They kicked the Titans' butts today. We're like, what are you talking about? The Rams were awful. And the Rams went on to win like 3 games that year. I mean, that's why we try to be honest with you. I know people think we're soft because we're Nashville. We try to be honest with you about the way the team looks. And I don't know how else to tell you. We don't expect this to be a playoff team, okay? They could win more games than last year, but they're still not a Super Bowl contender, okay?
Right.
That's what I'm telling you. PK also said the offensive line worked against the Falcons. Defensive line, 1v1s, and the Falcons in an area the Falcons like to make inaccessible for the press for no apparent reason.
Interesting. Atlanta seemingly has different media rules than a lot of other places, as PK pointed out on Monday.
Yes, they do, but they have reasons for that.
Right, right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Continuing to react to the Titans joint practices in Atlanta. Not a great day yesterday. We'll continue to give you updates on what's going on right now down in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, and Corey Curtis here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up hour number one here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt with you on this Wednesday. Titans on the practice field down in Atlanta for joint practices with the Falcons. Getting updates as they come in. Maybe not great for the Titans punting situation. Paul Kaharski just tweeted, Johnny Hecker Shankfest right now.
Oh, wow.
So, didn't look great on Saturday night against Tampa, and apparently not having a great start to day two down there in Atlanta. Did have a text that Corey and I were just talking about during the break. Mike in Lebanon says, the Titans' depth was decimated by J-Rob, and it hasn't been fixed yet. It's going to take several drafts to build it back up, and he's 100% right. A lot gets made about the final three J-Rob drafts, but you could even include the Ran and Vrabel draft in there.
They didn't do much to replace it, yeah.
Here's who's left from those four drafts. Nobody from 2020, nobody from 2021. You mentioned Elijah Molden probably should still be here.
Yeah, and I would argue for Hassan Haskins as well.
Yeah, Haskins, fourth-round pick in 22. McCreary's still here. Chig is still here from 2022.
Wiley.
That's it. 2023, you've got Skoronski. Levis, technically still on the roster, but he's probably never going to play a snap for this team again. Spears, Wiley, Duncan. So over a four-year span in drafts, you have six players left.
Well, and not only that, I mean, Levis is going to be gone. You know that.
Wiley's probably going to get cut.
Wiley's probably going to get cut, and Duncan's probably going to get cut.
So you'll have four players out of four drafts who are left.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. I mean, when you just look at the three first-round picks, they should all be starting right now.
Yep.
I mean, look, you don't look for guys who draft in the first round to contribute. They need to be starters, pillars, all right? And so you're down three starters right off the bat, right? And at key positions, right?
Yeah.
Wide receiver, tackle,
corner. Yep.
Whiff.
Where are you looking for depth right now? Corner and wide receiver.
And they only have two tackles.
Yeah. You don't have a swing. I mean, Hance, I guess, is expected to kind of be the Swiss Army knife guy behind the starting five.
I don't think they love it.
I wouldn't feel thrilled if I was looking out there and seeing Blake Hance starting at right tackle.
I like the two they got, but I've been around here a while. Guys get hurt. Okay, let's give you a positive, though. Jackson Slater.
Yeah.
He played a ton of football Saturday night. They really like him. He will scuffle with you. He's a combatant. He's going to be just fine for this team. I'm confident in that. Johnny Hecker, 10 straight seasons of 42-plus net yards.
Yep.
No one else in NFL history has done that. I am confident Johnny Hecker will be okay.
I agree. I don't think there's any reason to sound the alarm bells on Johnny Hecker. Because, again, it's not like you sign this guy as an undrafted free agent.
He's 36 years old, and he wants to go home. That's what I would say about Johnny Hecker right now.
I don't think he probably puts a whole lot of, not effort, but maybe mental focus into the preseason. It's like he knows what he's doing out there. I'm not all that worried about
Johnny. I am confident week one, Johnny Hecker will be okay. That's not, and I always say hope is not a strategy. I'm not hoping for that. I'm counting on that.
There is physical evidence that you can show that Johnny Hecker is a fine.
There's historical NFL evidence, all-time great NFL evidence that will be okay.
He is a good NFL punter. I think he'll be fine. Quickly before we go to break, I had a thought on the Falcons. Apparently Michael Penix looked great yesterday. Is that accurate?
He throws a pretty ball. His windup is a little long, in my opinion. I'm no quarterback guru, but he throws a pretty football. I mean, like when Bijan Robinson ran that wheel on Cedric Gray, he dropped it right on him in stride, perfect spiral. It's pretty. And he's tall and lanky. It's just, like I said, it's a little awkward coming out.
Everybody laughed at the Falcons when they took Penix eighth overall.
Well, they wouldn't have if they hadn't just given Kirk Cousins $160 million.
I don't know, though. Like, Penix, he wasn't getting mocked in the top 10 by...
Yeah, but he was being mocked in the first.
Right. Him and Nix, I think, both went way earlier than people thought.
Yeah, look, if they didn't have Cousins, people would have been, okay, I get it. But I agree with you. Nobody else was going to jump up to eight to get him.
Right.
And that's the point.
Maybe the Falcons are smarter than everybody gave them credit for. I did see apparently Cousins was horrible yesterday too.
He wasn't great.
Yeah. So
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, the Falcons made some plays, but I wouldn't say Drake London made plays, but the rest of them kind of made some plays.
Yeah, Drake London, the clip going around of him going up and over Imani Oruwariye, showing off that big frame.
Yeah, okay. So he made a great play. Who did he make it against?
Imani Oruwariye. Oruwariye.
Yeah, okay. Okay. He's supposed to. I know we got to go to break. That's what gets me. That's the difference.
Yep.
The good teams make those plays. You talked about the L'Jarius Sneed punch out at the goal line.
Yeah.
The great players, the great teams make those plays. We talk about, oh, well, that's a 50-50 ball. But the great teams make those plays.
Yeah.
And so I don't make excuses for guys saying, well, that was a tough catch. I hate that. Make the play.
Yep.
Make the darn catch. That's what you're getting paid to do.
It's what separates the good teams from the great teams. I remember watching the 2019 AFC title game and just thinking, not a single player on the Titans defense made a play in that game.
Yeah.
There were times they got the Chiefs off the field. But there wasn't a big sack, there wasn't a turnover, and when the Chiefs had opportunities to make plays, no one stopped them.
And when they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs with the Mariota,
right,
Jonathan Cyprian knocked Travis Kelce out of the game, and they went on to win. I mean, but really, he made a play.
He
knocked him out.
And probably should have been a fumble. They didn't call it a fumble.
That's true.
Teron Davenport, 1 minute ago. Cameron Ward just found Calvin Ridley deep for a touchdown over A.J. Terrell. Ridley spiked the ball and pointed to the crowd. So maybe a little bit of juice there.
Well, it was funny because yesterday he tried to make it sound like the crowd wasn't a big deal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I lived here. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's because he needed something to be happy about. Arden Key had like 10 people there. He's from Atlanta.
Oh. I saw he was up there doing karaoke or something last night. A.J. Terrell, I saw, I guess the Falcons posted that Terrell put the clamps on yesterday or something like that.
He was good.
Calvin Ridley responded on Instagram and said, post them all, because I guess Ridley got him a few times. Also, a big fight, apparently, between the Titans defense and the Falcons offense. Both sidelines cleared. They continued at it. And TD says for another 15 minutes. I think he might have meant seconds there.
Yeah.
Because that tweet only came out about 20 seconds ago.
A 15-minute fight would be the longest in the history.
I feel like we would have been seeing more of that over the last
15
minutes.
So what are we seeing today?
Juice.
More fight, more juice.
Yeah, more energy.
They got challenged yesterday, and they're responding today. This is what you want to see, right?
And it's kind of what you felt like you had to see.
Because absolutely.
If they came out and were just
got pushed around,
had a dud again, you start to wonder if they're ever going to be able to respond.
You find out what they're made of.
Right.
And again, I'm not just sitting here defending Brian Callahan. That's what he's trying to do.
Right.
He's trying to find out what his team's made of. He's trying to test them. He's trying to get them to raise their game. It may work. It may not. I don't know. We'll find out if this is the right move or not. But there is a plan. There is a plan.
Right.
And that plan is going to include some ugly.
Right. Not every day is going to be great. Yesterday was not great. But it seems like, just based on what we're seeing, it's better today. I don't know how much better, but it sounds like the Titans are at least making some plays and bringing some energy.
Look, if the Titans went up and down the field every practice,
yeah,
would you have some concerns? Like, who are they practicing against?
Right. So. Right. That's especially in the intra-squad practice,
yeah,
where it's Titans versus Titans. It's like, it should be a back and forth,
yes,
every day.
Yes,
or else
it should be.
You might have some serious problems. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans on the practice field in Atlanta. Yesterday, Cam Ward threw a couple more interceptions. We're going to talk about whether it's a big deal that he's turning the ball over in practice, or whether we should just, you know, calm down a little bit about what we're seeing from Cam Ward so far. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.